You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with
His grace and by His mercy, and He's blessed us. And Brother Greg is correct. It is a little hot, a little warm. But we're going to heat it up a little more. We're going to allow the Lord's word to get into our hearts and in our spirits and to bring forth His holy heat. Guys, as you see in your bulletin, we are still in our study in the book of Hebrews. And by way of review, we're going to start in chapter 12, beginning our reading at verse 25. And today should finish up our study throughout this book. And we have some other things planned going forward. But today, let's focus in on this book of Hebrews. We know and have been saying throughout that the theme of this book is Christ is better. We have seen that He's better than Moses, better than the angels, better than anything that's been created, because He is the one that created all things. And we see in chapter 12, beginning at verse 25, if you're with me, please say amen. And he writes here, he says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not," he goes on, "who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." And indeed, they heard God when they were on earth, and so much so that they couldn't stand it. The Israelites couldn't stand being in the proximity of his voice. So he said, "Moses, look, let him speak to you, and then you relay the message to us." And by the way, guys, it's still the same God. And the day he speaks to us through the finished works of Christ, and surely we are without any excuse. He goes on in verse 26, he says, "whose voice then shook the earth," and indeed he did. He said, "but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And again, he's quoting here from Haggai chapter 12, verse 6. And he's letting us to know that, look, as he spoke, as he talked, everything quaked. And he's saying that ultimately when I come back and deal with this stuff, this mess here on earth, I'm going to speak, and not only is the earth going to quake, but the whole universe is going to quake, and literally he's going to dispose of it, because he has a new heaven and a new earth that's going to be the blessing house or the place of dwelling for his children. He goes on in verse 27. "And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." And look, we know heaven and earth and everything is going to dissolve. And listen, even those that don't know Christ, who will find themselves in hell, and the only thing that can't be moved or won't be shaken are those things that belong to the Lord. So he's speaking about his heavenly host. He's speaking about the Old Testament saints that came to faith in him during their time. And he's speaking about his church that know him as Lord and Savior. He goes on in verse 28. "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved," and we know that, we ought to know that, "let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." In other words, he's telling us to hold on to him, get closer to the Lord, and understand that he's in control of all things. As Brother Greg was saying earlier in regard to what all the instances, all the issues that are going on in our world right now and surely in our country, God is still in control. He's still causing things to go the way he would have it to go. But ultimately, guys, we already know we have won, because we are on the winning side with our Lord. And he ends this chapter in verse 29. He says, "For our God is a consuming fire." And every time I read that verse, I think about Noah, and I think about the time when God told him that there was going to be a flood coming, and that I'm going to destroy every living creature, that you gather up two by two and bring them in this ark. By the way, Noah, you're going to be building. And by the way, when he did that, when he destroyed all living creatures, he shook the earth pretty good right then. And the writer is saying he's going to come and shake not only the earth, but the universe, and going to shake all those that don't know him in the pardon of their sin. In other words, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on, and we need to make sure we're on the right side of this thing called salvation. Guys, please be prayerful with me as I continue in this sermon series. Christ alone is worthy. And Father, as we dive deeper into this book, as we go into the last chapter, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll touch and bless and minister to each of us, Father God, from right where we sit, right where we stand. And Father, you know what we're going through. You know our ins and outs. You know our frailties, Father God. You know where we're hurting. And you know our concerns. And I pray that through these scriptures, through this word, that you'll bless us, encourage us, and minister to us, Father God, and even show us the fix for whatever we're going through in this life. Father, I pray that you will encourage us as you've encouraged me. And Lord, with that in mind, hide me behind your cross and allow these words to be words that you have me to study for this congregation, knowing that they're not my words, but they're your words. And Father God, they can do all things except fail. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We say yes to your will and to your way, as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen. We see in chapter 12, verse 29, the writer ends. He says, "For our God is a consuming fire." And guys, as believers, we ought to know that. He goes on in chapter 13, verse 1, "Let brotherly love continue." And look, in the times that we're in, and we're in some horrific times, and they're going to get even worse, we need to make sure that we're loving each other. And look, it's one thing for me to get in your face and say, "Oh, I love you," with honey dripping from my mouth. But man, actions speak louder than words. If you have a need, if you're going through, and listen, I know you're going through, I ought to come alongside and try to see if there's something I can do to help. And as we see the time and the day approaching even that much more, we're going to need each other more than we ever have. He says in verse 1, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And listen, he's referencing, we know that Abraham and some of the other saints that in the old covenant, that they were entertaining angels. Angels did not even know it. We know that Abraham was talking to some angels. He tried to cook for them. He made them meals. And listen, he didn't know they were angels. They were God's messengers. And they were coming because they were getting ready to undo Sodom and Gomorrah. And he did not even know it. But he entertained them. He treated them well. The other day, and I was sharing with Brother Roger in regard to last Friday, my garage, I like to work in my garage a lot. Not so much here late because it is hot, but I'm still in there. And it's kind of dark in there. I got some lights in there and I wanted to hang another light. And so I saw on Marketplace Facebook that somebody was selling some. And so I checked him out. I messaged him. So he gave me his address. So I said, "I'll pick him up." And I was going by his house to pick him up. And I didn't know exactly where that street was. And so I'm following the GPS. The next thing you know, I'm sitting right across the street from Lamplighter. I'm saying, "Wait, it must be a Lamplighter." And so I get close, and the GPS is saying, "No, turn right." And I'm like, "Well, there's no houses on the right except for a gated community up there." So I figured, man, I'm probably not going to be able to get in. But it was that RV park right across the street. I did not know. So I go up, I find the street, I go up to get the light. And as I'm pulling up, I get to the guy's RV, and there's no car there. So I said, "Well, maybe I'm too early." And then I see another car coming behind me, and I see him pull into the parking place. And I say, "Wow, this must be him." So I open my window. I said, "You selling a light?" He said, "Yeah, that's me. I'm selling a light." So it's hot out there, as I just said. And in my mind, I'm saying, all I want to do is get this light and put it in my car and get back in my air conditioner and drive on home. I'm not going to belay this too long. And as I get out, I'm talking to him for a bit, and we're talking about different things. He tell me how he bought his RV, and he's sharing with me how much the rent and the lease over there is and everything. And meanwhile, it was hot, man. The sun's baking on my head. But the Lord had me to tarry, and as I'm speaking to him, I recognize that he's a man of faith just because of the way he's talking. And so I said, fine. I said, you know, I pastor a church right across the street. And he said, really? He said, no church across the street. I said, yeah, it is. The Lamplighter Village, right in the carriage house, every Sunday at 10:30. I said, we have a church. And man, he got excited, and I got excited. We're talking about the things of the Lord. He gave me some literature that he had. I shared some things with him, told him about different studies and stuff we were involved in. And prayerfully, I hope that he comes. But guess what? That was a divine appointment. And listen, I was talking to Brother Roger in regard to one he had. And many times the Lord will lead us to a place where he would have us to be so that we can minister to folk, so that we can be a blessing to folks. And listen, how we conduct ourselves, they might not be angels, but it very well could be someone that needs to know or be encouraged about the things of Christ. And sometimes we're so fast and we want to get out of there or get out of the way like I wanted to, but the Lord had me tarrying, and I dare say there's been some times when I didn't tarry, and perhaps I should. We were talking earlier before service in regard to witnessing and passing out tracts, guys. It's getting awful late. And if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you're going to come across somebody who does not know Christ as Savior, and they might not be an angel, but it very well could be someone that God has sent you to so that you can share him with them, and we ought to do what he's called us to do. Amen. He says in verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby, it says, some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them, it says, which suffer adversity as being yourself also in the body. And listen, he's talking about having compassion for these, as the writer is writing to these. They're in jail for Christ's sake, only because they love him and have been telling folk about him, and they got locked up. So he said we ought to act like or be a blessing to them as well. And by the way, a lot of folk are going through during this time. Some share, some don't. But we need to put ourselves in their positions as well, and we need to be a blessing to them. And guess what? Sometimes we say, well, the least I can do is pray for them. No, that's the most that you can do. Because many times the Lord won't have you physically come to their aid, but man, you can send up some spiritual blessing. You can pray for them, and they will have more effect than if you gave them $100. Because we're interceding and talking to the one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. In fact, he owns everything. And look, as he reaches, as our prayers reach him and he blesses them, it will be more or worth more than silver and gold. We can get so self-centered sometimes. I'm involved in what I'm doing, or I'm going through here. Man, everybody's going through, and we need to intercede for folk. And as I pray for you and you pray for me, then the Lord's interceding in all of our lives and blessing as he sees fit. He says in verse 3, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourself also in the body. And look, we're the family, we're the body of Christ, we're all in the family. And listen, sometimes somebody will tell me something about them, and it's so horrific, some things that they're going through, and I want to help physically, but I can't. But it touches my heart so, man, that it will make me write their name down. And every time I look up at my computer or my desk, I got to pray for them, because they're going through some things that I don't even know if I can take it, but they're going through and they have to take it. And they are, if you're hurting, in fact, if I take a sledgehammer and hit Scott's foot, he'll probably slap me. But besides that, if I hit his, take a sledgehammer and hit his foot, my toe off, I ache as well, because he's my brother in Christ. And as he's hopping around hurting, I ought to hurt. And he ought to hurt for me and intercede for me so that we can be a blessing one to another. He goes from there in verse 3, and he begins to give us some information that we need to have. In fact, we ought to know, but it's a friendly reminder. He says marriage is honorable in all, and it is. He says, and the bed undefiled. So we know he's talking about being intimate with someone. And what he is saying is that in marriage, a relationship, that's the only place where that intimate bed is not defiled. And he wants us to know that we're believers, we're ambassadors for Christ, and we ought to be living in a way, or in a way that's pleasing in God's sight. I shouldn't be shacking up over here or shacking up over there like I used to prior to salvation. I'm different now. And I'm not different because I made myself different. I'm different because God has saved me. And now I spout his name. I tell folk about him. I tell him how, tell folk how righteous he is. And I ought to, as best I can, by the power of his Holy Spirit, I ought to be living righteous as well. He says marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. And he goes on, shows us the other side of that coin. But whoremongers and adulterers, he says, God will judge. And look, he's talking about having sex outside of marriage, or being married and then having sex with someone else. And he says, God will judge. Guess what? He's already judged it and said that it's wrong and it's sin. And guess what? I've had some of that in my past prior to Christ. And I thank God that every time God looks at me in regard to that sin, as Satan tries to accuse me, all he sees is Jesus and the fact that Christ has paid it all, because I now belong to him. And again, God's grace. I didn't earn it, surely did not deserve it, but God, out of his love, gave it to us anyhow. He says in verse 5, and by the way, guys, he speaks here about whoremongers and adulterers, says God will judge. There are also spiritual whoremongers and adulterers. We're the bride of Christ. We're married to him. And we're not to go and seek after some other religion, or try to go and go to a soothsayer, or try to go to somebody that's going to read tarot cards. No, we belong to him. And spiritually, we don't go after other gods either. He will judge that as well. Our sufficiency is found in Christ Jesus. And if he's not enough, I dare say there's not enough for you. Because indeed, he is enough. And will always be enough. He says in verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. And we know covetousness is wanting what somebody else has. And many times we would want to keep up with the Joneses. If my neighbor gets a great big house, then I want it. If they get a shiny new car, then I want to go get what they got. And listen, they got it maybe because they've been blessed by God to have it. They can afford it. And then I go outside of myself and away from God, and I go get what they got. And guess what? I can't afford it. How do you think that's going to work out? God gives them what he would have them to have. He gives us what he would have us to have. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye had. For he, and by the way, that he is God, have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And listen, for us, for the believer, that ought to be enough. And if I have another need or a bigger need, then I go to him and let him deliver that to me. I don't go seeking it out for myself, nor do I go and want something or pray for something only because somebody else got it. And it's a shiny new thing, and now I want it. For the believer, God is enough. Paul says in Philippians 4 and 16, for I have learned that in whatever state I am, therewith, he says, to be content. In other words, God's got me. He has me where he wants me. I might have some wants, but I'm being taken care of in regard to my needs. And because he is taking care of me, I'm learning that there are times when I have a whole lot, and I'm okay with that. There are times when I don't have as much as I feel like I need. I've learned to be okay with that. And wherever the Lord has me, that's where I'm going to be content. Amen? He says in verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Guys, I want you to go with me to the book of Philippians, back a few books, and that would be page 1022 you're using. In fact, no, we already looked at that, so I'm not going to go there. Forgive me for that. But I will go, I will take you somewhere else in a minute. Look at verse 6. He says, so that we may boldly say, in fact, let me reread verse 5 so I can read it into verse 6. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, and again, that he is God, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. And listen, we're coming to a time when we need to have that truth etched on our hearts. We're coming to a time where folk not only in their minds say they hate Christians, but they're starting to show that they hate Christians. We know in other countries that the persecution is at a rampant rate, that they're killing Christians, that they're jailing them, they're taking their belongings, and we know that it's coming to a country near you. And listen, what he is saying is that, look, in Christ, I don't care who it is, I don't care what it is, I'm not going to get off of my stance in Christ. In fact, he says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And look, I get up in the morning. In fact, I got up this morning, and with the heat and humidity, I really didn't feel like getting up. On Sundays, I always set my alarm. I set my alarm for 2 hours or for 2 times in case the first one don't take. And this morning, the first one didn't take. And then it goes off a half hour later, and that one took, but I was dragging a bit. But what I knew is that I was going to be okay, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And listen, there are times when I really just don't feel like it. There are times when I don't have it. There are times within my own self, within my own strength, and even in my mind, I just feel like I can't do it. And then God reminds me that, look, last Sunday, even though you felt like you could do it, it was still me doing it through you. I did it. Get up. Get yourself ready, study your lesson, and watch me work through you. And he lowers me down a bit, he humbles me a bit, and he lets me know that the reason why I can is because he already did and has empowered me by his Spirit to do the work in which he has called me to do. There's some times, I'm sure, in your life, you say, you know, I really need to study my Bible more. I really kind of need to read more. Well, maybe tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes, and well, maybe the next day. You know, I really probably should go to a Bible study. Well, you know, I don't feel like it right now. God knows my heart, and therein lies the problem. He knows our heart, and he knows that at times it is lazy, and if we're relying only on our own strength, we never would do anything. But when we rely on him, man, we get reinvigorated. We get strength that we never thought we had. And listen, we push out and do what God has called us to do in regard to our time here on earth. And listen, I can ask you to raise your hand and let me know when you're going to die. And nobody here knows, but God knows. And we have today, and I need to do what he's called me to do while it is today. The Bible says, because tomorrow is coming when no man is going to do anything. No man can work. So I need to do what he's called me to do on this day. Verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. He goes on. He's giving us some instruction as he's closing out this book. He says, remember them which have rule over you. And he's talking about our elders and our pastors, our church leaders, who have spoken unto you the word of God. He says, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And listen, he's talking about those that stand, they teach, and the Bible teaches that teach and they preach. But I like the fact that the writer is not saying that just do what they say and not what they do. He's saying for the teacher, for the pastor, for the elder, that as I teach, my life ought to be just like I said it. I ought to walk it like I talk it. And you shouldn't catch me up in some bar somewhere later on because I'm doing my own thing. Guys, I don't have a thing anymore because my thing is God's thing. And as I say it out of my mouth, I've got to walk it in my body. And if I'm struggling in an area, then I give it to him and say, Lord, I can't. And he says, Brother Ralph, I know you can't. That's why I'm going to do it through you. And I'm going to be obedient to him no matter what it is. And no matter what comes down the pike, I must be right with him. He says, remember them. In other words, when he's saying, remember, keep us in prayer. Keep the leaders and the elders and the church leaders in prayer. Many times you'll read in the paper or see on the internet that this one got caught up in this, or this one fell here, or this got caught up in some trappings. And look, as I do for the Lord, as leaders do for the Lord, Satan pays particular attention to God's leaders, and he knows our past and will try to trip us up in our past and will come. And listen, you might deny him this time, but it's not going to stop him. He will keep coming and keep coming, which is why I need the whole armor of God to ward off the fiery, lying darts of Satan. So you pray for me and keep me in prayer and pray for your leaders, even in our nation, but in particular your spiritual leaders. Because many times folk are following a man when in reality they ought to be following the Lord. And if a man falls, a pastor falls, those that have been following that man, many of them will turn away as well. And that speaks volumes in regard to the faith that they say they have. Amen. Again, verse 7. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And he goes on and he gives us our example, man. And this is the best example. And in fact, in reality, it's the only example. I look at some men, some leaders, and I admire them from time to time. But guys, I'm not following their example. I'm following the one who has given them the mission or the ministry that they have. It says in verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever. In other words, man, consistent Christ was while he was on earth. Consistent was he was when he was on the cross. Consistent was he when he gave, downplayed himself and said, I come to do the work of my Father. And we ought to be not only obedient, but consistent. How you see me today, I shouldn't change up the bar and say, oh, well, you know, that sermon I preached last week, it was okay. But you know what? We don't have to do everything the word says. Yes, we do. Consistency. And consistency in Christ and to follow him and my faith in him. And listen, when something goes wrong, by faith, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to him first, and I know he's going to work it out. And he always does. And look, there are sometimes, even with this election coming up, and we get fearful sometimes and say, oh, wow, this one stepped aside, and now we got to deal with her. No, we have our Lord, and whatever happens in this election or anything else in this dust bowl, God is still in control.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp@gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.